say the Lord bless you. You know, I really thank the Lord for this morning and what our brother Gary brought as well. I believe it was prophetic.
Amen.
I believe God could have even led him to prophesy it. You know, we read it from the Word of God. It's the same thing, isn't it? It's the Word from the Lord. And I believe in it. God will restore all.
Amen.
There's nothing the devil can do about it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Isn't the Lord wonderful?
Yes. Amen.
Praise God. I want you to turn to Malachi 1, chapter 1. And I just want to read this for the text. And all the day I was thinking I'll continue on tonight, but I just could not get the leading to do that from this morning's message. But I kept getting this phrase from this verse, and it's just been turning on me all day. So I had to read it tonight, bring something about this tonight, praise God. Verse 1 and verse 2 of Malachi 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. You may be seated, praise God. I want to take this phrase here for the text tonight. I have loved you. I can't get this out of my head all day. I have loved you. This is the Lord talking. And the Lord is saying, I have loved you. Greater love of no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And the Lord is saying, I felt strongly to say this tonight. You know, when I was away from the Lord and I was in jail, and the devil kept telling me nobody loved me, nobody cared for me, all my friends had forsaken me, I was lonely, I was depressed, I was suicidal, and I was having all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of things were happening. But then, into the late that night, came that voice.
Amen.
And that voice said, I love you and I give myself for you. I have loved you. When the devil tells you nobody loves you, when the devil wants to try and convince you it's all wrong, nothing can be done, the Lord is saying, I have loved you. I have loved you, personal.
Amen.
This is the love of the Lord. There's no love that can be compared to this love. I believe your brother Brian Master, but agape love and filial love. Human love is not, human love is wonderful, it's great that somebody loves you. But the Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's love is greater than any other love. My Bible actually says God is love. So you want to know what real love is? No, God. God is real love. God oozes love. God is the average of love. God is all love. He's a loving God. He's a loving Savior. He says, I have loved you.
Amen.
The Lord loves you. And the Lord loves you with an everlasting love.
Amen.
This is not a week's love, a month's love, a year's love. This is an eternal love.
Yes.
I have loved you with an everlasting love. In John 15, verse 12, I won't read it all. It's verse 12 to 26. You can keep marking your Bible. I want to refer to it tonight several times. But I just read that verse by way of a text. It wasn't part of what I was going to preach, but I thought I'd let you bring it. I have loved you. You know, in John 15 here, verse 12, down you read, but this is the verse for Brother Branham, preached to serve. The 11th commandment. Now we know there's 10, but he said the 11th, that you love one another, because Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. So we've read, I've loved you, and the Lord is saying, love one another. You see, that loving one another is like this morning, the Bible says, when your brother weeps, weep with him. When your brother rejoices, rejoice with him. And when you truly love one another with the love and the Lord be with you. I have loved you. I tell you, the Lord loves you tonight. And there's someone here. And he really wants to save you. I tell you, when God's Holy Spirit spoke that to me in a jail cell, it melted my heart. And it brought me to my knees to turn to the Savior. And I cried to the Lord. And God in his mercy transformed my life. I thank God for the love of God. The song penned it well. I'm not sure if he's still, maybe he's passed on today. If he's living, he'd be quite an age of a man. You remember Brother John saying, Alan Henning's dad, isn't he? Uncle Willie. Well, I remember him singing, I get my testimony, and he sang and he preached. And I'll never forget the words he sang. You know that song about God's love in a pen would drain the ocean dry? That's it.
We
would think the ocean fell. God's love. I tell you, there's nothing like the love of God. God's love. You see the thing about God's love? God's love doesn't have a bad day. God's love doesn't have a bad week or a bad month. God's love is the same love all the time. It's eternal love. It never changes. And the Lord says, I have loved you. Oh, I think this is wonderful. In this chapter alone, Christ uses the first personal pronoun. In this chapter, what we're reading from here, I told you to keep a note in your Bible. We've studied emphasis 11 times, says I. 11 times he says it in this chapter. In each case, the chief importance of the word spoken lying and the character of him who speaks in these impressive eyes. Here is the thoughts of, I have loved you. That's God's grace right there. In verse 12 you read it, I have loved you. God is saying to you, I have loved you. My son, when a man tells his wife, or the wife tells his man, I love you. But you think when the Lord says to you, I have loved you with an eternal love. Even when you're in sin, even when you're filthy, even when you're unclean, even when you're laying, as it were, in the dunghill, amongst the pigs, like the prodigal son was feeding with his wife, amongst the pigs, but the Lord still loved him, his father still loved him. And the Lord loved us when we're unlovable. And us as Gentiles, the Bible says, we which were not a people are now the people of God, because God loved us.
Amen.
And he set his eye upon us, the Lord loves you. I have loved you. You who sometimes were far off but are made nigh. You who once in ignorance of me and walked according to the course of this world, Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 6 tells us, you hath he quickened. You and me that walked according to the course of this world, you and me, some of us were fornicators, some of us were adulterers, stealers, liars, robbers. Some of us fit in the criteria somewhere. We all were failures.
Yeah.
All sinners. Fallen. But the Lord says, I have loved you.
Yeah.
And you no more a fornicator, no more an adulterer, no more a stealer, no more a robber. But you have I justified. You have I sanctified. That's what God says. And your sins is washed away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. No longer to be, excuse me, remembered no more. Verse 4 says, but God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. And I'm reading Ephesians 2 verse 4. God, rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. There's nothing you've done or nothing I've done because he loved you. When did he do it? The night you conceived? No. That's when he moved you to make the decision, but before the foundation of the world, you were chosen in him. He knew you before you were born. He had a plan for you, a purpose for you. You were in his thinking, on his mind, if you like, when he was on the cross. And God chose you. And God predestined you to separate you. I have chosen you out of the world. There's many tonight that's not saved, but you are saved.
Amen.
Because the Lord loves you. The whole world lieth in wickedness. We know the Bible says it. First Epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 19 to 20. And we know that we are of God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God has come and have given to us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
Amen.
When you have Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have the true God, and you have eternal life.
Amen.
The Lord loves you. To be chosen of Christ is to be called out of the world into his fellowship and kingdom. And this fellowship ye shall be partakers of his suffering, for the world that hateth him will hate you also. Now what do they get this? The keen spirit that seeks to slay those more righteous than themselves. Through Ham, on out, through Nimrod, into Babylon, out of Babylon, come on down. He became a bleeding lamb. You ever hear how Brother Brown tells about how he got the lamb? He said he got a stone and he had to throw it over. He let the blood run out of it. You know that's how the man can take a needle, put his throat, let the blood out. So that the blood goes out of the flesh, because you're not to drink the blood thereof. It's wrong to do it. The Bible clearly says, for the life is in the blood. But God required blood. But you see, these religious men missed it. They missed it. And you know, isn't it so like church world today? What Bible school did he train in? What college did he go through? What group does he belong to? None of them. These here belong to the big Bible school. These here belong to the big groups. These here, the scrolls carried it. Certain lineage came up a certain priesthood. You know, they had to do this and do that. Everything was exactly right. But Jesus says, you don't know me on my day. Feel the same. But no one else, he said. Common people heard him gladly. Amen.
Amen.
The common people heard Jesus gladly. Amen. I tell you, it's not about education. We're not against it. But you can never educate yourself to know God. You can't. And he says, I've chosen you. I've loved you and I've chosen you.
Amen.
We're chosen out of the world like Noah. That we might receive from it and become witnesses against it by faith. Like Abraham, we must go out. We came out of the world like Noah. We're in the ark, Christ Jesus. We're like Abraham. You know, Abraham searched for a city which had foundations, whose maker and builder is God. Do you know that? And I tell you, the Lord's coming again. And we've come out of the world, as it were, have come into Christ. We don't go to the clubs tonight. As people go to clubs in different places tonight, we don't go to them. We come to church because we want to worship the Lord and hear the Word of God preached. For we're glad that the Lord has loved us. Here's another thing from our opening scriptures in verse 15. Friendship. I have called you friends. Friendship. I tell you, never, you know, boy, I thought he was my friend. You never ever have to say that to the Lord. You could say that to lots of people. You could say, I thought he was my friend. They could feel you. They could let you down. But the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord will never fail you, for he loves you. Friendship. Friendship with Jesus. Oh, what holy sweet communion. I have called you friends, verse 15. To be called friends by him who is God's best friend is an honor indeed. Amen? It was a blessed day for Mordecai when he was declared the friend of the king. And you know, Haman had it all planned out, how he would kill Mordecai. He had it all planned. But it backfired because of Esther. And you know the whole story. I haven't got time to preach about it. It's a wonderful story. I think our brother Gary here maybe preached about it one time. But you know where they built the gallows for the killing? And then the king said to the Queen Esther, "Know what I'll do for you?" And she said, "You know, my people's going to perish." She's referring to this man that she's wanting to save. And you know, when the king had read the deed he had done, but they'd missed it. But it was in the books.
Amen.
It's in the books, you know.
Yes.
Amen.
For there shall be a book of remembrance written, the book of Malachi said. In that day, when I make up my jewels,
yes,
says the Lord, there'll be a book of remembrance written, and those that love the Lord speak often, one to another.
Amen.
And a book of remembrance was written. I tell you, this is the day we need to speak often of the Lord.
Yes.
One to another. God has a great book. We're going to be in that book. It's a Lamb's Book of Life. And I tell you, when your name's in there, it never belongs. Thank God for it. You don't put it in there in a church revival. It's in there from the foundation of the world, you know. God put it in there.
Amen.
Amen. You could read Esther 6 and verse 11. Then took Haman the pearl and the horse and the red Mordecai and brought him on horseback through the street of the city and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighted. And I tell you, he was sad when he seen what happened here, backfired on him. And the gallows he made to kill this man, he hung on them himself. The psalmist David said, may they fall in the pits they have dug for me. I tell you, God loves you tonight. It is a blessing to have a friend, but to have a friend that is closer than a brother, who's loved us and given himself for us and went away to prepare a place for us and made provision and saying, he rose up on the third day and he gave gifts unto men. I rose up and ascended up on high and gave gifts unto men. That's the friend we have. You know what also this friend says in verse 15? It says he's going to teach you all things. Amen? He says he'll teach you all things. I have made known unto you. This great teacher says, I have made known unto you. You see, people think, you know, if they read a certain man and do a certain thing, it's good to read. I'm not against reading. But you see, it's known the Lord. You see, a man said to William Branham one time, do you know everything in that book? And he said, no. But he says, I know the author well. That's what he said. And you see, it's knowing the author. It's having a personal experience with the author of the book we need.
Amen.
And I tell you, he teaches all things. I've made known unto you all things. He's the great teacher come from God. As he sought to instill into the minds of the disciples the things that he heard of his Father, so with the Holy Spirit he still does make known the will of the Father. For all things are now delivered unto him. And the Spirit takes the things which are his and shows them unto us. That's what the Word of God says. And he says, out of babes and sucklings I have perfected praise. One scripture says a child will lead them. I tell you, the Lord's word's wonderful. Looking at the unseen. But God knows what he's doing as long as he's leading you, see. You must always go with the Spirit, and the Spirit will always agree with the Word. Now, if the Spirit leads you contrary to the Word, then it's not the Spirit of God now. If the Holy Spirit is leading you in the same Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it's a religious spirit or some other type of a spirit, that isn't the Spirit of God. It'll say it was for a day gone by, not now. How could you make that act right? Because it said he's a seer. Oh, I'm so glad to have the Holy Spirit, see? God seen that beforehand. Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless, but I pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And he will abide with you forever. And when he comes, he will testify of me and will show you things to come, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Oh, how happy we are to see the Spirit of truth hearing, record with his word. And it is the Spirit of truth, the sons and daughters follow it. It will stay right in the lids of the Bible and confirm every promise God made. Right in the lids of the Bible. Not in a dictation, not in a denomination, not in some man's thinking, but the Holy Spirit will keep you with the Bible. Right in it. Not out of it, in it. A fellow said to a fellow one time, he said, was that out of the Bible? He said, yes, he said, I got that for couldn't find it in it. Amen? Yes, he says, it was out of it. He says, I got that for never could find it in it. But the Holy Spirit, the one that says, I love you, he leads you to the Word of God. Isn't that wonderful? says here also in verse 16, I have chosen you that ye should bring forth fruit. The Lord's chosen you to bring forth fruit. Well, brother, how am I going to bring forth fruit? If you plant an apple tree, you don't have to tell it to grow apples. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't know much about apple trees now, to be honest with you. But I planted a couple this year. And they've grown apples already. And planted a plum tree there as well. And you know, I was saying to brother this morning, I was wondering, them plums must be near ripe. And I thought, another week we'll do them. You see, when I left it another week, the bees were in them. They knew they were ripe. And they waited and wet them. I only got to half of them, brother. The bees, they were half eight. But you know what the fella told me when he showed me the apple trees, they're just small trees. He says, don't buy one, you need to buy more than one. Because the one germinates the other one. I don't can explain all that works, but fire ignites fire, know that. Amen? You get somebody in the room that's got the Holy Ghost, another fella close to him, he gets it. I can tell you it's contagious. Praise God. And you see, when you get a couple apple trees near each other, they germinate each other, but you get one left by itself, it's not too good. You need some of the germinated, but one close to the other to germinate each other. I tell you, the Holy Ghost germinates God's people, for He's near you.
Amen.
He's near you. Hallelujah. He says, I'll be with you. I have chosen you. Heaven called His disciples friends, and heaven instructed them in the things concerning Himself. He expects them to be something else than mere patients in the doctor's hands. More than that, the love that has grown into friendship must go on in ripening into fruitful service. A fruitless branch never serves the purpose of the vine. A barren Christian profession is a misrepresentation of Christ. We don't want a barren Christian. We want one that's got fruit in the tree. I was glad when a brother told me, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying, but I had the chance to lead his neighbour to the Lord. I'll tell you, that made my day. I'll be honest with you, it made my day. There's nothing I like to hear more than a man or a woman getting saved and praying the sinner's prayer. The devil hates it, but the Lord loves it. I tell you, it's wonderful when somebody comes to know the Lord. I tell you, it's good to bear fruit. Chosen, ordained to bring forth fruit. Verse 13. If the fruit of the Spirit is not manifest in our lives, we are falsifying both our calling and our ordination. We must have fruit. The apple tree, if everything's right, will produce apples. You know, even if you leave a tree and don't do much with it because it's an apple tree, you'll go round there someday and they've got apples on it. Not right? Because it's an apple tree. And you're a Christian, so you produce fruit. Amen? You don't need cooks to do it. You automatically do it because the life that was in Him is in you. And you do it. Verse 17, it talks also about brother love. I command you that ye love one another. And isn't it wonderful that we can come and pray for each other? Genuinely put your arm around your brother and pray for him sincerely and genuinely. I tell you, that's something. That is something. You know, it's good when a man gets drunk in the Spirit because you know what he thinks of you. Amen? Now you think of it in the natural. A fella gets drunk, he'll tell you what he thinks of you when the drink's on board. It's the same with the Holy Ghost. When a man gets anointed, he prays for you. Prays over you. You know really what he thinks of you. Isn't it wonderful? And isn't it good? It's far better than the world's intoxication. We want the Holy Ghost intoxication. Yeah, the Bible talks about it. Are these men drunken? And he said, this is for the third hour of the day. These are not drunk as she supposed. This is that.
Amen.
Which is spoken by the prophet Joel.
Amen.
This is the Holy Ghost. This is the power of God on them. They're not drunk. They're not crazy. This is the power of God. This is the Holy Ghost. This is why they're acting like this. Love is the bond, and it's to hold this God wants us to love each other. Amen. I remember years ago when we were on the streets. It's going back quite a time. You know, I used to go out a lot of times, me and Brother Adris here, some other brothers. I remember Ian and Jenny going with me away years ago, and I'd preach and I'd give out tracts, and I used to do 3 open airs every Saturday. 3 of them. Wasn't happy with 1 brother. Tell you, it's hard to get boys to do. One day I used to do 3 every Saturday and thought, not enough. Preaching. Have I got a corner anywhere at all with that? Couldn't happen. That's how it was. There's other brothers here was the same. There's men in here was preaching in the open air 30 years ago, 40 years ago. But I tell you this, it's wonderful when you see people. See, if you might say, but we didn't see much, no, but they heard it. They heard the gospel. It's a witness. It's a witness when they hear the gospel. Amen. Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
But I'll tell you this. I remember one night I was surrounded as a young fella. I can't tell you, like, I really think it, in case you think wrong of it, but you know what I mean. There was people that weren't with us. They were a different organization or denomination from us. And he was going to straighten them all up. And he says to me, we better get over there and tell them about the message. And I says, you're not going over with me. He says, what do you mean? I says, God sent me out here to preach the gospel. I said, I'm not going over to tell people they're outside of disco, they're telling people about Jesus Christ that he died to save them. There's no way I'm going over in front of unsaved people to start an argument with them. I said, I'll go stand with them and say, go on, brother. Praise God. But I'm not going to go and argue with them. And he says, well, I feel that. I said, all right, come with me. You remember, Brother Hugh? So I said, well, I have an appointment for you, young brother. I said, you feel that to preach? He says, I do. I want to preach in the church. I says, no. I says, I'll give you your first preaching. You won't feel that to preach. Come with me. So we took him out. We went to the disco, the coach down here. And we picked the net for the line right out. From the door right to the road at the corner of the line. And there's a big set of steps up there. And I got up on the steps and I preached it. Then Brother Ewell preached it. And I had to hold the back of Ewell. They're going to pull the steps and everything. You remember that, brother? And the bouncers saw it was me. And they wouldn't act up. And I said to the young fella, I said, there's your turn. Go ahead. Your call. Get up there and go out. He says, I think I'll leave it, brother. I said, well, that's for the start. You know, William Branham said that, get onto the corner. He says, you might know much, but if your fire's really lit, tell how it got lit.
Right.
But if the fire's never lit, you can't tell how it got lit. You know, when Roald Bartlett preached in Scotland in the open airs, you know, Roald preached the open airs in Scotland, Brother Samuel, I'll tell you. They threw bottles at him in every hand.
Yeah.
Fired bottles at him. They broke them, round them in every hand, threw bottles at him. When Charlie McBurney preached in Yorkshire, England, they threw bottles at him as well. You'd be surprised, people that used to do open airs, you know. I'm telling you now, God wants people that do open airs. All the power to the man that did open airs. I have a big respect for any people that do open airs. It takes a boldness only God can give you. It takes God's protection. But the Lord says, I've loved you. And I'm going to stop tonight on this here final thought. I'm missing some things. It's verse 26 of our reading. This is a promise. I will send you the Spirit of Truth. God loves you. I have loved you. And he says, I'll send you the Spirit of Truth. God's not going to send you the Spirit of error. He says, I'm sending you the Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit of Truth will lead you into all truth. Spirit of Truth. Listen to this. The word comforter in this verse may be translated helper. Where I'll send you another comforter, a helper. This promised helper is the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. The devil-deluded world cannot receive the Spirit of Truth, because it seeth them not, but ye shall in you, John 14:17. In promising the Spirit, Christ promised every needful thing for the life and service. He is the Spirit of Truth, of grace, of burning, of power. What a helper he is. How fruitful our testimony with him is. saving. And that's the spirit of truth that we need. Now, don't think I'm belittling a young fella. This is a long time ago now. This is not recent years. This is about 20 years ago nearly, I'm sure. Isn't it, brother? Well, we did some missions in our time, I'm telling you. You know, let me tell you, God keeps you, you know. I want to tell you that. I used to preach in Portydown at the top of the town. There's a big massive church. It's changed now the way it used to be laid out. They've rebuilt it, reformed the roads. But I used to preach in front of that church. The Independent Methodist minister lent me his open air equipment. I dream, and I saw him in the dream, Gilbert Edgerton, with an open air equipment, and he gave it to me. And the fellow said to me, "Where are you getting equipment?" I said, "The Independent Methodist minister, where does he live? I don't know him." And he said, "I know him well, take me to his house." And he took me to his house, and he says, "There's equipment, brother." Amen? Think about it. He took me out the first couple of times, you know, to give me a few lessons on it. Now what I mean by that is, you know, talk slow. Don't be too quick so people know what you're saying and so forth. What he said was right. But we ventured out, we hadn't much experience, but we went out, and I used to preach every Saturday at the top of Portydown. And I used to work in the bakery on a Saturday morning. I'd work early, I'd be in early on Saturday morning, and I'd come home and maybe get about 2 hours sleep, and this wee man would come and lift me, take me to Portydown. Every Saturday, he never was late. I used to buy him sausages and bacon and a wee bit of bread every Saturday. His wife left him. He didn't have much back then. The same wee man. Some of his brothers know him. I won't mention no names. But every Saturday he always came at the same time, and there was a group of us would go. I'll never forget it. But you see, this particular Saturday he was late. He was about 2 hours late. And I couldn't understand because he's never late. And you know, he came and lifted me, and I said, "Well, we'll go ahead anyway." And when we got to Portydown, that's the morning Portydown was bombed. And right in that big church, there was a bomb just near that big church. And you know the Halifax Bank in Portydown? I built it as well, by the way. Every cornerstone in that bank, I set them on it. The fella said to me, "You couldn't have took a digger." I said, "You're looking at the digger." Every one of you go look at it sometime. The big stones, I set them all on. But it was blown up, you remember that? That bank was blown to pieces. The windows up beside that church were all broken. Where I was standing, if I were there that morning, I would have been dead. But God had a plan for me. And I thank the Lord I'm here. And I tell you, the Lord looks after his own. The Lord says to you tonight, "I have loved you." Let's come and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, how we thank you tonight for your love and for your mercy. Lord, help us to love each other, for you know you first loved us. Father, I pray that you'll encourage your people tonight and that you'll strengthen them. Lord, that they'll take courage from your word that you do love them. Lord, you said that greater love of no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Father, we thank you that you're our friend tonight. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for these great truths, though they're simple, yet they're true. Lord Jesus, help us to bear fruit. Help us to be the trees that Christ can be seen living on and living through. Lead us and guide us, we pray. Keep everyone in this room as the apple of thy eye. Watch over them this incoming week. Bless them and strengthen them. Be all to them. In Jesus' precious name. Now, Father, bless your word to our hearts. Lead and guide us, I pray. And Lord, even for the young man I talked about, Lord, I pray you bless him as well. It's been on well in the death. Bless him. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. You know, somebody had left me a gift this morning. I want to thank the poor whoever it was. The wife had uniforms left aside this week for the children. I bought it just in time. The Lord bless you. God never makes no mistakes. Sure he doesn't. Now that young fella I mentioned, you know, he's going on well with the Lord today. His family and all of his own, the Lord bless him. And he's a good lad. But you see, how God works. It's wonderful, you know. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm sitting down because I don't want to take no more time up. But I remember in a meeting years ago, there was a man came in the meeting and he was possessed with demons. And the demons manifested in him. A lot of people ran out of the meeting and everything that night, but God delivered him. And about 6 months later, one of the brothers that was with me found him, preaching and giving tracts out. Well, I'll tell you what, that's something.
Yes.
Not wonderful what the Lord can do. God can change a man.
Yes.
God can really change a man. And the Lord's changed everyone, and the Lord loves you. God bless you.
Thank you.